You are listening to the Cycling Podcast in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
This week, we're in our gate.
Where are we, Lionel?
We're in Betty's Tea Room in Harrogate, Richard.
What are we doing here?
Well, we're having an early evening drink before dinner, and we're going to be talking about the World Championship Cycling.
We travelled to Harrogate today. We are doing daily podcasts from the World Championships. We're also doing two episodes of the Cycling Podcast Feminat come out Tuesday and the following Tuesday. But this is not really equivalent to our Grand Tour coverage. We're doing something a little bit different. We're going to try and offer a flavour of what it's like to be here in Harrogate in Yorkshire for the week. We're going to be talking about the races, obviously. Today was a mixed relay, first ever mixed relay team time trial, and we'll be hearing about that in a few moments. But what are we doing, Lionel? We're sort of taking in the atmosphere and trying to convey it, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a real, already, we've only been here a few hours, but I can already sense the kind of festival atmosphere. We're very fortunate in that we're staying in Harrogate, so we don't have to travel away from the centre of the action too much this week. You may go out to the start of the women's race in Bradford on Saturday morning, I guess. We've got our World Championships ride on Thursday that sold out, but we'll be over at the Wold Top Brewery on Thursday doing a ride and then a bit of a talk in the evening. And we've got our live show at the Royal Hall in Harrogate on Friday night. Still tickets available for that if you're in Harrogate, or if you're coming for the weekend and you want to pop in and see us.
We'll be joined by Matt White on stage. Francois Tomaso is coming over on Wednesday. We'll have Daniel Freib, and Ciro Scogna Emilio is going to join us as well.
Wow.
On stage briefly.
Wow.
Probably just run on and off again.
But I was reflecting this afternoon as we got back to our hotel after the finish of the mixed relay team time trial. It's the last time I came to the World Championships was the year 2000 in Plouay, and I was trying to work out why I've not been in.
That's
the
very strange
19 years since. It's weird, isn't it?
Who won, Lionel?
Romans Weinstein has won.
Oh my goodness,
in a sprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've only ever been to the World Championships road race, the road World Championships, twice. The first time was in 1999 in Treviso and Verona. Treviso, of course, was where the first leg of the Tiramisu Challenge was during the Giro last year. Daniel Freib and I tasted some tiramisu. And what do I remember about that? I remember that Fabian Cancellara won the junior men's time trial. I followed Charlie Wagelius in the Great Britain team car with John Herity in the under 23 men's time trial, which was won, I think, by Jose Ivan Gutierrez. Michael Rogers got the silver medal in that. And the men's road race was won by Oscar Freire. I mean, that's dating.
Who won
it?
The women's road race?
It may have been, I think Van Morsel won the time trial. I'm going to look that up and I shall report back, Richard. You've caught me on the hop there.
Well, sorry about that. A Dutch woman, though, probably a good bet. And they were a very good bet today, weren't they, for the mixed relay. We should say as well, we're going to hear a bit more about where we are, because the story of Betty's Tea Room, where we are, is really fascinating. And it's a real institution here in Harrogate and in Yorkshire, indeed. But we've also got a guest with us, haven't we?
We have.
Don't snigger, guest.
Yeah. Don't snigger, guest.
I'm back up north. What's going on?
Oh, not that.
You dragged me back up north.
No. It's Rob
Hatch.
Do
you not want this voice? Sorry.
It's Rob Hatch.
Hello.
I mean, nobody would nobody recognise you. There's no value in having Rob Hatch if you're not going to be the Rob Hatch that people know and love.
I will speak properly. Is that okay?
Rob, what are you doing here?
A mixture of all sorts of different things. I'm only here for half a week. I'm enjoying myself back up north. I'm visiting the World Championships, rather like Lionel. I don't particularly come to the World Championships very often. Mostly the broadcasts who I work for have not had the rights, or it simply hasn't been my gig to do it. So it's nice to be here. I've been talking to some people in the VIP tent. I've done a couple of events. And I am going to be commentating on half of the men's road race on Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Great. Well, speaking of previous World Championships, my first ever was 97, in fact, in San Sebastian. I went over there and I camped up the hill and with my then girlfriend, and we had a week in San Sebastian.
I thought you were going to say that you rode it, but I don't think you got quite that level, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't ride it. I remember it was a famous one. Lauren Brochard won the men's race, later to be implicated in the Festina scandal the following year, of course. It was weather very like this, actually. I seem to recall it quite cold and wet, and David Miller was there. I think it was his first sort of world championship as a pro, and there was a very famous night in a little bar in San Sebastian where I stumbled upon a gathering of professional riders, including Bjarne Riis, wearing a leather waistcoat and a leather hat.
Wow.
And nothing else.
Nothing else.
Well, trousers, on top.
Is that searchable anywhere? Can we have a look on the internet for
it
that?
It was a strange outfit.
That might have to be my screensaver, I think.
And I wasn't involved in any of this. I was just an observer. But David Miller went for a swim in the sea that night and lost his leather jacket and his mobile phone, I believe. First of many misadventures for David Miller. But anyway, that was my first ever world championship. But I've been several since then, including Innsbruck last year. And it was while Orla Shinawee and I were in Innsbruck last year that we thought we need to, especially next year in Yorkshire, need to cover this daily, because it's a fantastic gathering of cyclists and cycling fans. And, you know, unlike a Grand Tour, which moves on, the World Championships are here for over 9 days. There are lots of shops and cafes and other businesses who've, you know, really kind of gone to town to welcome the World Championships. There's lots of events on, there are lots of people here, and it's a great sort of, as you say, festival.
It is. Well, we'll see who we bump into over the course of the week, won't we? But the internet has come to my rescue and to tell me that Edita Pukinskaitė of Lithuania won the women's road race in 1999, and Szilard van Moorsel won the time trial. So I was kind of nearly right. I got one Dutch winner.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Thanks very much to our headline sponsor, Rafa. Very grateful to them for their support as ever. I'm doing a little event at the Rafa pop-up on Tuesday evening, looking ahead to the World Championship road races at the weekend. Come along if you're in Harrogate. Lionel, a little update on Leontien van Moorsel's name.
Yeah, Leontien Martha Henrika Petronella Szilard van Moorsel.
Well, I knew you hadn't got it exactly.
Right. The internet's brilliant.
Thanks for that, Lionel. Well, today was the first ever mixed relay team time trial, and it was a victory, as many people expected, for the Netherlands, Germany, a very strong German team second, and a Great Britain team, a surprise Great Britain team third. I mean, pretty experienced and strong men's contingent with Harry Tanfield, John Archibald and Dan Bigham, and they all know each other very well. But they chose a couple of quite young female riders. I asked Hannah Barnes, who's coming later in the week for the women's road race, whether riders like her, more senior, reigning world team time trial champion, of course, with Canyon SRAM, with her sister Alice as well, whether riders like that were given the opportunity to ride this. And I think there was an issue of the length of time they'd have to be in Harrogate, the preparation for it. And so they went with what looked like a surprising kind of lineup for the women, the Great Britain team at least, whereas Germany and Holland had really strong female lineups as well as strong male lineups. So the bronze medal for Great Britain was probably a surprise. It was quite close between them and Italy. They had bad luck with Elisa Longo Borghini, had a puncture and got back on. But that was a surprise, I think, wasn't it?
But what did we make of the format? I mean, it's the first proper chance to have a look at this format. It made its debut at the European Championships a little bit earlier this summer. The Netherlands won there with a slightly different lineup. They beat Germany into second place and Italy were third in Alkmaar in August, I think that was. It was a much longer course on that occasion, 44.8 kilometres. Today's 27.6, of course, each team does half of that, or each half of the team does half of that. But in terms of as a spectacle, what did you make of it, Rich?
As an event, I think it was a success. We'll hear some reaction from the medalists later on. They all certainly liked it. And I think there were things I really liked about it. I loved the fact that it brought the men and the women together. I liked the fact that the women went off second, so that it was really hanging on them. And I think we saw on the podium what it meant for them to come together like that and achieve something together. And, you know, I think in terms of strategy and planning and so on, there was a lot of cooperation there. I like that. I like that idea. As a spectacle, though, a three-person team time trial isn't a great... For me, a team time trial is a spectacle when you've got, you know, five, six, seven, eight, or even nine, but, you know, six or seven riders riding in formation. That's a team time trial. A three-person team time trial is something else. I'm not sure what you do about that. I don't know what the solution to that is, because it would be very difficult to increase the number, I think, of riders.
Rob?
Well, I think actually you make a really good point about the numbers there, because look at what happened to Italy. One mechanical, and with all due respect to Great Britain and their young lineup, as you put it, and in the men's lineup, actually, they're extremely good time trialists, but they weren't the big world tour names, were they, that other teams like Netherlands brought Jos van Emden, for example, who's won a Giro d'Italia stage. Germany had Tony Martin and Niels Pollitt on the men's side. And the women's side, you're looking at Lucinda Bron. You're looking at, who was Elisa Brennauer as well. Absolute superstars of world tour in both the men's and the women's. The Italians would have been on the podium, wouldn't they? Let's be honest about this. If it wasn't for the mechanical, if it wasn't for the problem. And they would have been on the podium if it had been, let's say, a four-person team time trial, not a three-person. So the numbers is a really important point. In terms of taking the temperature of the event and seeing how it was well-received, everybody seemed to like it, who I spoke to today. Fans, people involved in the sport on a media level, people involved in terms of coaching. I don't think the trade team bosses like it, and I think that's pretty obvious why. But I don't think they're going to like the World Championships full stop anyway, because they don't want their riders going off, crashing, getting injured. It's just something that's always going to happen with the sport. I think we should also, when we're talking about this event, maybe think about what happened 24 hours earlier, the Paracycling International. I have had a lot of feedback in the last 36 hours since that's happened about why wasn't that part of the World Championships. And you made a really good point, Rich, about people not wanting to do today's event, the team time trial, because they'd have to stay all week and then race on Wednesday and then race on Sunday or Saturday if it's the women's road race. I think that maybe the UCI has a bigger question as to what to do with this opening weekend, and maybe if you're going to have the team time trial, push it a little later in the week. But I think the Paracycling did a lot on Saturday to really put a strong case to be involved on maybe a Friday, Saturday, Sunday to have a whole Paracycling Worlds with it. And I think those two issues are related, because it is the eternal question. We've seen it with the time trade team. I'm sorry I'm droning on here, but I think it's a really important point to make, that it's more a case of what do we do with these opening days on the Worlds to A, get everybody interested, make the sponsors happy, and B, I think we should be thinking about making these progressive steps, but making them even more inclusive.
I think also there's a problem with the team time trial being on Sunday and the women's time trial being on Tuesday. You know, it doesn't leave a lot of time to, you know, the Netherlands had a very strong team, but they didn't have Annemiek van Vleuten, the reigning world time trial champion, or Anna van der Breggen. And Lisa Brenner rode for Germany, but will also ride the time trial in a couple of days. It doesn't leave an awful lot of time to recover between today and then. Let's hear a little bit of reaction, though, shall we, from today. Lionel, you spoke to Elia Viviani, whose partner, Elena Cecchini, was also riding in the women's lineup for Italy. Let's hear from Elia Viviani first. Then we'll hear from Bauke Mollema, Lisa Brenner, and John Archibald, who has replaced Geraint Thomas in the British team for the time trial on Wednesday.
What do you think of this format, the mixed relay?
Yeah, it's quite nice, no? So I'm really like to be here and do this new format. So I think it's always good to try when UCI puts something new. Also, when I do the first time in the track tempo race, I don't like that, but at least I need to race if I want to repeat my gold medal in London. So today I was here because it's an effort I can do really well, under 20 minutes. So it's comparing of some track race, so I'm preparing the track, and I'm in good form to this effort, and I really enjoy it. So bad luck for us. Longoborghini have a puncture, so for sure in this 8 second divide us from the podium, it is this puncture. But that is part of cycling. We need to be really happy with our performance of our women's performance, and then go ahead for the next goal.
Did the two teams, the men and the women, did you recce the course together? Did you talk together? Did you kind of share information?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a good of the good point of this discipline is this one, no? We do some recon with the girls, and we try to have the same tactics, like how manage the energy during the course, where take some risk, where not, where pushing full gas and where not. So it was quite nice to have this chat in the few days before the race, and then condivide with the woman this goal as Team Italy. So at the end we go really close to the podium, so that is cycling, so we need to accept the fourth place.
And lastly, Patrick Lefebvre says this event doesn't have any place in cycling, but I guess you disagree with him.
No, he's not disagree. So I'm also one of the guy want back the team time trial as a team, because I really enjoy it. From a spectator, I never do it the worst, but it's part of the modern cycling. If you see in the Tour, in the Giro, in the Vuelta, it's always a team time trial. So probably we need to back in the program this team time trial, but still I think this effort, this new format can stay. So I think as a cyclist, we do so much different kind of racing. Why not to compete in doing two races like that? So it's something new for the show. We need to thinking always also to the fan, and if UCI decide to put this, probably they have some reason, so why don't race this? So I'm really happy to have a race today.
New event, what's your verdict on the event?
I mean, we like it, of course. We won. It's a super hard event with only three. I mean, that's so much harder than with seven or eight. And I think we will see in the future what it brings. I mean, will depend also if there will be more countries coming here, and if the countries will keep coming with their strongest teams. It will depend also of the UCI. I read they were thinking about making it for the Olympics in 2024, and of course that will be a big step for this event, and then there will be more countries focusing on it, I think. But I think it's nice. It's something different, something new. I think the team time trials for teams, there are only also a few teams who really took it seriously and we're going for the win. So we have to give it maybe a few years to see what it brings.
Congratulations, you happy?
Yes, of course. I mean, we wanted to win for sure, but I think we followed our plan, that we executed how we wanted to, and that's the outcome, and I think it's a super nice second place in this new event.
What do you think of the event?
I like it personally. I think it brings us as a nation also more together. You profit also from the input from the guys. We sit together, the staff, the guys, the girls, discuss the race, make a strategy, and share our knowledge. And I think it's a great way of bringing each other up and forward.
What did you think of the course?
Yeah, it was tricky. You had to have a good strategy and good pacing. And there were only a few moments where it was straight or flat. The rest was up and down or corners, and quite technically as well. So we decided to race quite hard from the start with Miki Kröger to use her strength in the flat, more flat sections, to then, when it comes to the hilly and technical part, to go through there with two of us. And I think it was really good.
It looked like you all enjoyed celebrating on the podium as a team, feeling that you were a team, the men and the women.
Yes, we are. And the guys were super happy. So when we came to the finish, they were there and they congratulated us, and we were happy together. And I think it's, it was a nice event for us as a nation.
For a long time there, you were in the hot seat, and it was looking good. What were you thinking at that point?
You're just enjoying every moment, really. We knew the three teams to beat were the Italians, the Dutch, and the Germans, and it was kind of nail-biting stuff until towards the end, with the unpredictable nature of there being six riders and just so many technical aspects of the course and the rain. You just didn't know where it was going to go. So yeah, there was a lot of nervous moments on stage, but really enjoyed it.
How did you feel about your ride? Did you feel like you'd sort of nailed it?
Yeah, the three of us had expectations and a plan that we put forwards, and we feel we executed that plan as best as we could. We didn't finish and then look back at it and go, oh, wish we'd done that. I feel like third's what we deserved, and third is
What do you think about the event? I mean, a new event. A lot of people didn't really know what to expect from it. Do you feel like it's been a success?
From a rider's perspective, I do. I mean, just the whole atmosphere around the World Championships, and the support on the roads, and then the stack of riders you've got competing at it. I mean, you look at some of those teams, there's a lot of big riders there. I think it's a merited World Championship, and I know it's different from the trade team format, and that is. That's what people are used to, and so change is different, but certainly me coming to the fold and doing something like this has been, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
And you put your feet up now for Wednesday because you got a late call up. You're replacing a rider probably people haven't heard of, but I mean, you must be looking forward, although it's come late, you know, have you been able to prepare properly for it, and are you looking forward to testing yourself against, you know, the best time trialists in the world?
Yeah, I feel it's a bit of a shame that it's so such a surprise. If I'd known a couple of weeks ago I was doing a World Championship time trial, I would have approached things differently to how I did that 14k course as a team. But certainly I'm going to jump at the opportunity, and it will be a nice benchmark, and hopefully I can, you know, do myself proud.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton, Cycling Podcast team car at the back of the pack, please.
How does the offer of free beer sound to you?
I'm never going to turn that down, Richard. How can this happen?
Well, all you need to do, Lionel, is go to www.beer52.com/cycling. Well, just for £4.95 to cover postage, you can get a free case of 8 beers. And if you sign up within the next 2 weeks, you get an extra 2 free beers. So that's 10, if I'm not mistaken. Beer 52 is a craft beer club. Every month they deliver a case with a different theme. These have ranged from Germany to Korea, Norway to South Africa, and California to Finland, but they also include a lot of independent beers from the UK. I think we're having a couple of those now, Lionel.
We are, and very, very, very delicious they are too.
They're not in the latest box, which actually comes from Boston, Massachusetts, the Beer 52 box.
Well, Richard, I'm enjoying a glass of Timothy Taylor's Landlord, which is from Keighley, between here and sort of Blackburn, Burnley Way, on the Yorkshire side of the Great Divide. And I've read about Timothy Taylor's being a very popular export to the US in Ferment magazine, which also get delivered with your case of Beer 52 beers, so you can find out about the whole world of brewing, and it's an incredibly diverse world, isn't it, as well as getting a very savoury snack, which I also enjoy when I crack open my first can or bottle of Beer 52 beers.
Bet you do, Lionel. Well, if you want to sign up to get a free case of 8 beers from Beer 52, or indeed 10 beers if you sign up in the next 2 weeks, go to beer52.com/cycling to get your first case of 8 beers for free. And don't forget to sign up the next 2 weeks to get an extra 2 beers for free at beer52.com/cycling. That's beer, B-E-E-R, and the numbers 52.com/cycling. Well, before the break there, we heard from some of the riders who were successful today. Elia Viviani, well, he was fourth. Is that successful?
Fourth out of 11.
Well, that's another thing we didn't mention.
Successful.
Yeah, we heard from John Archibald, Lisa Brenner, and Balcom. You're a hard man, Lionel. Anyway, we didn't hear what you thought, Lionel, about today.
Well, first of all, I think that the UCI gets a lot of criticism for not innovating, not leading, not coming up with new ideas, not setting an example. They've also been criticised for not doing enough for women's cycling. And then when they do something that really kind of showcases a new format, a different format, and elevates, puts the women on exactly the same footing as the men in a particular event, they get criticised for that as well. I mean, the most notable criticism I've seen has been from Patrick Lefevre, the boss of De Koninck Quickstep. Perhaps not a surprise coming from him. He's pretty old school in a lot of ways. And also, he is pretty sour about the fact that the trade team World Championship team time trial has been dropped to make way for the mixed relay. Quickstep and their predecessors were very successful in that. I think won it 4 or 5 times. So they've lost an opportunity to sort of demonstrate something to all of their sponsors and say we are the best team in the world, which is let's not underestimate the significance of that as well, because teams can go to their sponsors and say, well, we won the World Championships, that really means something. But I think in terms of creating an event that can put the women on the same podium as the men, I think is really important, and is something that can develop in future years. This format may not survive, or it may expand, it may become bigger and better. You said about three person teams. I completely agree with you. It doesn't look very good when one rider's struggling, suddenly the whole thing falls to pieces. But perhaps the plan is, over successive years as it grows, to expand that to four or five. And I think if they stick with it and grow it, rather than throw it out after one or two years and say, well, it didn't work, if they actually give it a chance, it could become a really key event. I'd like to see a couple of little tweaks, maybe. Perhaps does it do the men and the women have to go off quite so close together? Perhaps you could have a system where the women, if they are to go second, go off in the order of the men's result, so that you even heighten that kind of sense of drama over the medals at the end. Not that we necessarily needed it today, but perhaps as the event grows, that's something they could look at. And I also just finally think that, you know, in tennis at Wimbledon or the US Open or whatever, the mixed doubles is not the big event. It's never going to rival the men's singles or the women's singles. But the key thing about tennis, and that is really the model that cycling needs to follow, is that the men and the women are broadly on a par. I mean, there's the wrangle about the prize money in certain tournaments, but, you know, they get great exposure across both of the separate tournaments. And if the mixed relay can do anything to just kind of elevate the importance of the women's events, then, well, you know, why criticise it before it's even had a chance to take off? And I think, you know, again, it's not offending anyone, just give it a chance to see if it captures the imagination.
But as with the mixed doubles, what's really crucial is that some of the A-listers give it the sort of the weight that it needs in order to really punch a hole. And, you know, if you've got Serena Williams and Andy Murray playing in the mixed doubles, it elevates that competition. And likewise today, I think Tony Martin, you know, with his patched up eye after his Vuelta crash, surprised to see him riding actually today after that injury, former world time trial champion, see him riding, and Niels Pollitt, and on the women's side, Lisa Brenner, a former world champion as well. That was great, and I think the best part of it for me was seeing those teams celebrate together at the end, and for the riders themselves to feel as well that they were part of that combined team.
Yeah, I turned up on the Friday night, actually, so the night before the paracycling, and the day before we had the paracycling events, it was team time trial recon morning, and everybody was doing their recon together. It was nice to see.
We're in Yorkshire.
I'll say it like that, Cocker. All right. It was the recce, is that correct? It was the recce, and we saw them riding together and talking tactics together, and it was a novelty. And a couple of different broadcasters were there, colleagues of ours. I was talking to our colleagues in the Italian commentary box, and we were all wondering how it was going to work, how this new traffic light system was going to work when the women were starting after the men got to, what was it, 200 metres. We had the amber light, and then the second man came across the line, and it was the green light. That seemed to work, and that seemed, you talked about learning from the previous events, that seemed to be an improvement already on the flag system that we saw, I think, in Alkmaar, didn't we?
I think just lastly on this, the UCI are very keen to get the mixed relay into the Olympic Games for 2024 in Paris. And I think, you know, one of Lefebvre's comments, which I thought was kind of a bit daft, really, was he said there's no point, no sporting merit in it, because everyone knows the Netherlands are going to win. Well, okay.
What about
future years? And I mean, if that's the basis on which, you know, we're going to organise sporting events, nothing would get organised.
Let's not have any classics, shall we? Because Quickstep always win.
Well, good point. Yeah, and I think that, you know, this, there is potential to kind of stretch this out. Make it a longer event, make it more demanding, add riders to it. But, you know, you have to start from a sustainable point of view. And I think Rob, you made a very good point in the first part. It might not be one that the listeners kind of appreciate on a logistical basis, but when people look at the start list and say, well, it's all European teams plus the UCI's World Cycling Centre, you could see in future, Canada, USA, Australia, the big
because there were missing. They were all European teams. Saying,
exactly.
No, yeah.
And that must be because of the logistics of it, the cost of bringing people over, the cost of staying another few days, because it's not necessarily just another one day, is it? People have been here since Thursday. There's plenty of potential, but maybe it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, just to illustrate finally on people, how they prepare for, like, say, the road races at the weekend. Philippe Gilbert was still out training today in Belgium. We had riders who are riding next Saturday, next Sunday, who are actually riding in races in France and Belgium today. So it is the time frame, it is the logistics, it's what your nation and your cycling federation can pay for you in terms of hotels, all sorts of things that it's not too easy to understand for the listeners at all, and even for us in the media sometimes, to comprehend, well, why aren't they here a week before? Why aren't they getting ready? Where are the mechanics trucks? And it's a very funny beast, the World Championships.
And the cycling podcast has hogged all the best hotel rooms at the bottom of the finishing straight.
That's where we went wrong.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much indeed to Science and Sport for their support of the Cycling Podcast. You can get 25% off your Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com with the code SISCP25. Lionel, I asked you earlier on where we were. We are with somebody now who can shed a bit more light on exactly where we are.
Yes, we're with Dan Jeffrey of Betty's Tea Rooms. Thank you very much for inviting us here this evening. We were just saying, didn't really associate a tea room with being open in the evening time, but obviously mistaken.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for coming along to record the podcast at Betty's. It's lovely to welcome you here. Lots of people don't realise we open late, but we do in York and Harrogate. Some people will come along and have a full afternoon tea in the evening if they want that classic Betty's experience.
Dan, I must say, watching the team time trial today, how much did Betty's have to pay the UCI to be so prominently positioned on the finishing straight? It's quite a remarkable visibility that you have and are presumably going to have all week.
It's pretty astonishing, but I have to say that Zwift have turned
this into a bike shop. If I see David Lepartion in here having high tea, I'll know what's going on.
Yeah, it's not a bad spot, is it? We always get a choice spot at the bike races. But yeah, Zwift have actually turned us into a bike shop on their World Championship circuit. So we're a little bit upset about that, actually.
In terms of what the World Championships being here means for Harrogate, I mean, how important is it? I mean, we've only been here this afternoon, but already can feel there's a real sort of festival vibe already everywhere. It seemed very busy up the main drag here, and the fan zone just behind the podium there looked very busy. I'm imagining that it's going to be packed all week, and next weekend will be extremely busy. So, I mean, how much sort of anticipation has there been with the cycling coming here this week?
Oh, it's been absolutely huge. Events like this are amazing for Harrogate. They're amazing for Yorkshire, though. I mean, I think that's the thing more than anything else. Since the Tour de France and then subsequently the Tour de Yorkshire, Yorkshire's really on the map. And I think the thing that I most enjoy is seeing those amazing camera shots, helicopter shots of the Yorkshire countryside in the Yorkshire towns and cities. And obviously, just look at the crowds that come out to enjoy the racing. I think the county is really proud and really enjoys welcoming people.
Dan, could I ask, tell us actually, I think, did you introduce Dan's title, his job here? Tell us what you do at Betty's and tell us a bit about the institution that is Betty's.
Well, I'm the communications manager, and you're visiting us in a really important year. This is our centenary. The first Betty's opened in 1919, so we're celebrating 100 years of Betty's. It's got an extraordinary history, actually. It was founded by a Swiss called Frederick Belmont. He wasn't born Frederick Belmont. He was called Fritz Butzer. Had a terrible childhood, was orphaned at the age of 5, and sold to a farmer. Left home as soon as he could, and travelled around Europe learning to bake, learning patisserie and chocolate, and then came over to England to seek his fortune. May have actually ended up in Yorkshire by mistake. There's the story goes that he lost the address of the business he was going to, and all he could remember it was in a place that sounded a bit like Bratwurst. He didn't speak English, so he walked around on the platform saying Bratwurst, Bratwurst to all these people on the platform. None of them spoke German, and eventually someone said, that sounds a little like Bradford. I'll put you on the Bradford train. And that's where he ended up, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow, that's extraordinary. That's not... I didn't know any of the history of Betty's, and it's not what I imagined at all. So was the first Betty's in Bradford, or where did it open? Was this the first Betty's?
As a matter of fact, the first Betty's was in Harrogate. The second Betty's was in Bradford, though. The first Betty's opened just across the road from where we are now. We're at the main Betty's on Cambridge Crescent in Harrogate. And yes, that opened in 1919.
And how many are there now?
Well, there's six now. There's six, all in Yorkshire. The reason you only find Betty's in Yorkshire is our bakery is in Harrogate, and we need to be able to deliver fresh goods to all of our tea rooms every day. And if they were any further away, we couldn't do that.
Now, there's a bit of cycling history just out the front there, because Mark Cavendish fell off in front of Betty's, didn't he, when the Tour de France finished here in 2014. A legend has it that he spotted a cake in the window and just lost it. No, that's not... Anyway, he knows Betty's. He used to come on holiday here, and he's been a customer here. Not a very good one, in fact.
Well, cyclists don't eat much cake, as we've discovered. So he did come and visit us a few days before the Tour de France, and met his wife here. Mikhail Kwiatkowski came with him, and Renshaw as well. And yeah, they drank coffee and left, and they were mobbed outside the door.
Are you expecting many riders to come in? Maybe you get the big time trialists in on Wednesday and Thursday. I've just got to ask one question before I sample my traditional afternoon tea, my Yorkshire cream tea later in the week. What goes on first, the clotted cream or the strawberry jam?
I'm definitely not going to try and answer that question, because it is an extremely contentious issue. All I can say is that I have cream first and then jam second, but those are my personal views. Those do not reflect the views of Betty's.
You can always do cream, jam, and then more cream, just to cover all bases. Well, Lionel, what a fascinating story that was about Betty's. I thought Betty was some old Yorkshire lady. Dan was telling us the company's still in the family. Maybe find out a bit more about Betty's over the course of the week. I know you're going to find out a bit more about Betty's
I'm going to get myself all round Betty's, everything they've got to offer over the course of the week. Certainly looking forward to the afternoon tea, the Yorkshire cream tea. They do main meals.
We'll bring Francois
well.
Here, won't
oh,
we,
great
later
idea.
In the week. Because
great
we've got idea. We've got Francois coming in later in the week, Daniel Freib coming in.
Daniel's an afternoon tea man?
No.
Too civilised, isn't it?
He'll be here for maybe a coffee. He'll stand at the bar and drink an espresso, pretend he's in Italy.
Mind you, I ordered a coffee this morning. It was called an espresso, so I had to sort of take two steps back and then reorder
deep
it.
Deep breath.
That wasn't in Betty's, though, was
maybe
it?
One night.
Thankfully,
maybe,
it wasn't in
and
Betty's.
And maybe one night this week we'll be joined by Seb Piquet. What do you think, Seb?
Very good idea. If you're still at the World Championships and you haven't been kicked out by the organisation, because I saw you trying to go in the mix zone where you were not allowed to go.
Well, I mean, everyone makes mistakes on the first day. On the first day, Seb, we all do that. First day at school, you don't go to the right class, do you? And you learn, and you don't do it again. I'm only on a yellow card at the moment. Don't worry, I don't intend to have that upgraded.
A chalkboard rubber thrown at you from a great distance by the UCI.
There was a bit of slack today given.
Are you sure you stepped in the wrong area? Because we do have VAR here. We can check it if you like.
Anyway, that's all, I think. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about the racing tomorrow. It's a junior men's, junior women's time trial. But we'll also be bringing you a flavour of what it's like here in Yorkshire. And another thing, I'm meeting William Folliam tomorrow to talk to him about his book about Beryl Burton. And that is also a fantastic social history of cycling in Yorkshire. And you realise, reading that the story of cycling in Yorkshire goes well back beyond 2014. I think we knew that, but it's really a really fascinating story. So we'll be hearing about from that as well. But that's all for now, I think, Lionel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.